time for BK's Bullets!
Hey, 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 everybody. This is Brecasina back again with another edition of BK's Bullets for the Comic Timing Podcast. This time, we're going to do the, as promised, Umbrella Academy Apocalypse Suite, which is, I guess, Volume 1 in the series of miniseries. It says so on the spine, so I'm just assuming here. Written by Gerard Way, drawn by Gabriel Ba. I kind of scoffed when Ian picked the second series, Dallas, for one of our picks. I think for November. And because, you know, I don't really listen to My Chemical Romance. I'm not big into emo music or even indie comic books. So anything that had to do with emo, I kind of scoff at. So that's kind of, and then, you know, when I'm looking at this series and covers and stuff, they're all pale-faced people with, look like black eyeliner, you know, really sad. So I don't know, it just struck me like this would not be a thing that I would want to read. Right? So I skipped it, I passed on it, didn't get it monthly. Read some of the reviews and it said it was pretty good. So I was kind of like, well, this is kind of interesting that people said it was good, but I'm not going to go out and seek it out. Then Ian picked Volume 2 for, you know, our Heroes Corner picks and stuff. So then I was kind of like, well, you know, I think we had recorded Doctor Who, The Forgotten number 1 at the time. I didn't know anything about Doctor Who, so I kind of wanted to know something about Umbrella Academy going into that one, just to get like a little bit of a different experience for me, as well as for you guys. You know, I didn't want to be reading that one and going, oh, this is crap because I didn't understand it or like it or because it was emo or something. You know, I wanted to give it a chance. So I went out and got Volume 1 in trade paperback. It is $17.95, and it's pretty good value for $17.95. Aside from the main story, that's the six issues and stuff, there's like a little backstory, or I think it's like eight pages or something. There's like two small little stories in the back, both written by Gabriel Ba and written by Gerard Way, drawn by Gabriel Ba, and, you know, just some further adventures of the Umbrella Academy. You know, just to I guess give some backstory, or just, they're just fun little stories in the back here, as well as there's an introduction from Grant Morrison, some character sketches by Gabriel Ba, as well as Gerard Way, who draws not bad, but I mean pretty well. I mean, it's more of a character sketch than I would have thought that he would have turned out. You know, it looks like he has some art skills, or at least in, you know, drawing out what he wants kind of thing. So that was pretty interesting, that part of it. So let's get to the story itself. So what is the Umbrella Academy other than a smattering of, you know, kids or people with domino masks and pale skin, and it looks like they're emo or something like that, right? So the story begins, I guess, a relatively long time ago. And it starts with an atomic flying elbow. Don't ask me why, I don't understand how, but at some time, when the atomic flying elbow hits this squid from Rigel 9 in a wrestling match, 43 extraordinary kids are born, to mostly single women who had shown no signs of pregnancy in seemingly random locations around the world. Kids were either abandoned or put up for adoption, the ones that survived. And then we have this guy, Sir Reginald Hargreaves, aka the Monocle, who was a world-renowned scientist, athlete, and I guess he's a space alien. Anyway, so he adopted 7 of these kids, took them away for a long time, brought them back, and that's where we really start in issue number 1. I think all the kids are about 10 years old. They show up wearing black school uniforms, domino masks, and they're in Paris. And somebody falls from the Eiffel Tower rather randomly, and they're going, did he jump? No, he was pushed. And then all of a sudden, a lot of people are falling off the Eiffel Tower rather randomly. And in fact, it's making quite a scene. So these kids just show up out of nowhere and say, you're... Eiffel Tower is crazy, needs to be stopped. You know, the Eiffel Tower launches like this big energy blast. The kids attack. One of the kids is left out because she's nothing special. I think her name is number 7. All the kids have numbers 1 through 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 7 of them total. Anyway, they defeat the Eiffel Tower. And as soon as that happens, we jump 20 years into the future. Not even saying anything about what happened to the kids and stuff. Not, it's just kind of like one of those, okay, this is how they became to be. Here's one of their smaller adventures, and this is where they are now. So there's this monkey guy on the moon. And I say monkey guy because he's got a body of a monkey and a man's head. A rather large monkey. In fact, he's more of like a gorilla. But they call him Space Boy. And in fact, he was one of the kids that was in the Umbrella Academy. I want to say he was number one, I think. They don't really make it clear. Yes, it is number one, who is in fact Space Boy now. And then we go and see number seven, the girl who wasn't really nothing special. And she's in some dark apartment, kind of noir style, written a book called Extraordinary. Extraordinary, because she's nothing special, not extraordinary, you know. I thought that was kind of a neat thing. But they end up getting phone calls, and they announce that Sir Reginald Hargreaves is dead. So they all come, or two of them, or at least Space Boy, not two of them. Eventually they all come back. Space Boy returns to home, finds a talking monkey and a little kid who apparently is one of the kids from the beginning. His name is Number 5, and he's been missing for 20 years. It's kind of like a weird first issue. Like, I think if I had read this first issue originally, I would have probably not have gotten the rest of it. And I say that because it's just kind of weird. It starts out, it tells you where the kids came from. You have a cool little one-and-done adventure that's a couple of pages long, and then you jump to the future. And to me, I would have wanted to see, just reading on the first issue alone, I'm guessing that I would have wanted to see more about the kids, rather than jumping 20 years into the future at the, seems like, the very end of the book. It is kind of a weird transition, and I'm sure it threw some people if you were getting this monthly, but Chapter 2 kind of explains everything. It never really goes back to the past after that. It's kind of like Hellboy in that way, where it takes place in the present, and the past is just kind of this open landscape that I guess they can pick and choose what they want to be there and go back and revisit whenever they wish. So issue 2 is the funeral of this Reginald Hargreaves. You find out that Number 5 is from the future. He was stuck in the future. Another one comes back. Her name is Rumor, as well as Seance. And I don't know if they ever tell us the names of these Umbrella, not names, but, you know, the numbers, or the original numbers or whatever, because they were 1, 2, 1 through 7. Then some robots show up and have, like, consonants on them, and I think they're Destructors or something like that. They destroy an amusement park, and I think it pretty much ends there. Number 2 comes back as well, and he's like some super assassin guy. And at this point, some of them are in uniform, some of them aren't. The talking monkey comes back. Like, if you're listening to this and you haven't read it, I would say that you're probably, like, really, really confused, because it's a guy in a with a gorilla for a body and a man's head for a head. A talking monkey, talking chimpanzee, a kid from the future, or kid who got trapped in the future and has now come back, and I think a guy, Seance, that talks to the dead. It's just really, a lot of it is just really, really, you really have to read it, I would say, you know, to make sense of this. So obviously this is going to be spoiler filled, so if you haven't read this yet, I would say go and read it and then come back to it if you desire. If you want to be confused and not read it and keep listening on and on, go right ahead. That's, of course, that's your choice, but I would say that you'll probably get more out of this if you read it. And if you hadn't read, if you've read this and if you haven't read this in a while, this might be a nice refresher for you, if I can understand what the heck I want to say, and if you can understand my babbling too. So basically, Number 7 is kind of feeling left wanted, or left unwanted. She's feeling lonely, basically, let's say. So she gets a phone call from this guy who says, hey, don't you play violin? Come to my orchestra at something, at this auditorium. She shows up, and then there's the guy, I don't remember his name. I don't even know if he is the conductor of the orchestra. Verdammten, which I don't know what that means. I guess it's German. Sounds German. Probably European. Anyway, he wants to destroy the world with an apocalypse suite, and that's where we get the title. It's a musical piece, which, if played correctly, will destroy the entire world. And that's what he wants to do. So the girl is kind of like, no, I'm not going to help you do that. So she goes back home and tries to, you know, go to her father's funeral. Actually, no, they've already buried him at this point. She goes back home, sees in the distance that, you know, this amusement park is being burned. And she goes and tries to, assumes that her family is there. Her family being the Umbrella Academy, these weird, whacked out super people. So she shows up, and that's where issue 3 begins, at this amusement park that's being destroyed. So everybody's doing their best to stop these robots that are shooting things. I don't remember the exact name for them. They had kind of had some weird, quirky name. So she's number 7 shows up. I don't remember her name. See, that's the problem. They have code names, they have numbers, and then they have real names. And it's kind of like, you know, are we going to call them by their numbers? Are we going to call their names? Are we going to call their code names for their superhero identities? It's just, I can't get them straight. You know, you can tell which one is which when you're looking at the page, but if I'm trying to relay the story to somebody, I'm going to have a hell of a time, because I don't know what to call them, because they call them different things throughout the entire book. You know, one character uses code names, one character uses real names. Other times there'll be a flashback and they'll be using the numbers. I'm just having a hard time relaying this to you guys, so I'm sorry if this sounds like absolute crap. It's my fault. Well, partially the book's fault, but my fault for not really writing it all down and doing notes or anything. I find that notes kind of, I don't know, it just loses the feel of me reviewing it. Then I think I tried notes one time and it just I did not like the way it sounds. I kind of like this off the cuff thing. Anyway, so back to the story. Number 7 shows up at the amusement park that's on fire and her family is at, and tries to say hello after everything's been stopped. But it ends up, she ends up distracting somebody, or one of her teammates, and I guess, Kraken, number 2, the super assassin. See, like, those are like two names in there, and one of them's like a description or something like that. I'm so confused. Ends up saving her and yells at her like, what the hell are you doing here? We haven't seen you in years. You left. Go away. He basically tells her to go away. Get lost. She's nothing special, so she can't really do anything to help him out. So she leaves in tears and ends up going back to the auditorium that she was at in the last issue. And says, basically, I want to help you destroy the world. Let's give him a performance they'll never forget. So the conductor of the Orchestra Verdam 10 hooks her up to some big machine, somehow transforms her into something else, and then she becomes this creature known as the White Violin, who is on the cover of the trade paperback. And basically it's like a naked woman, but with like a cello drawn on her body. I'm not quite sure whether she has actual strings attached to her, or if it's just like tattoos or lines, but she gets hooked up to this machine. There's a lot of like Kirby dots and energy, and the next thing you know, she's walking out. She's like pale white. There's no evidence of any clothes, so maybe she's naked, maybe she's not, but all I know is she's got like strings running down her chest. She's got like the little bridge at her belly button, and like the little musical tattoo signs, or not musical tattoos, I don't know, the things on the side of the cello that the sound comes out from. I don't know. And then she ends up playing a violin. Violin, cello. I'm saying cello because she's like a tall, you know, tall woman, so I'm not thinking like violin. I don't know. Just look at it. You'll understand what I'm trying to say. So, basically, she comes out and shows her power by playing one note. And one note that she plays destroys the conductor, like rips him in half, basically, from head to crotch. You know, like you took a sword and went straight down the middle, rips him in half, kind of like in an exploding fashion. It's basically what he wanted. So then she says, you know, tonight we're destroying the Umbrella Academy, tomorrow the world. So that's what they go and do. They go to the Umbrella Academy's house. She plays a few notes. It blows up instantly. And then the Umbrella Academy show up, and you know, or that she goes back to the warehouse and plays with the orchestra. Things in the city start blowing up like crazy because more than one note she's playing. Seance comes, or their dad comes, and there's like daddy issue things going on where she was feeling that she was never loved, and it turns out it's not their dad, it's somebody else, it's Seance. And then seemingly out of nowhere, after it seems like everything's done, there's like this great big rumbling and a meteor comes down and basically hits. But it doesn't hit because Seance uses telekinesis, which he's never used before, and basically stops it from hitting the Earth, even though they're covered in like white explosion dust or something, moon dust. And that's pretty much the end of the series. They reform, I guess they're a family back together again, and White Violin, after she's been like blown through the head by Number 5, is in surgery and fixing things, and it's kind of like, you know, and one of the members, Rumor, has her throat slit from earlier and is in the hospital. Space Boy is the monkey guy, as I affectionately call him. He's by her side next to her. And the Eiffel Tower that they destroyed in issue 1, or fought off in issue 1, lands on their house for some reason. Kind of out of the blue, came with the meteor, I think. I don't know. Like, I liked this book, but a lot of it isn't explained. And I feel like it really should be. You know, I feel like it's not really like reading Grant Morrison, you know, like Batman R.I.P. I still don't know what happened in that book. You know what I mean? I can tell you what happens in this book, but it's full of such random and weird and wild things that it's difficult to do. Other than go, hey, check this out. It's not emo. I was wrong. It's actually pretty good. Go check it out. That would be my recommendation for this book. You know, it's not emo. I was wrong. It's actually pretty good. Go check it out. But don't ask me to explain it because I can't do it. You know, Gerard Way, you know, bravo. You wrote a pretty interesting yarn. I'm invested in the characters, even though I don't know exactly what their names are all the time. But that may be something about me trying to relate it to you guys. But yeah, pretty good job. I like the way storytelling style is pretty linear. Some of the flashbacks are in there, kind of flesh out the characters, which is kind of nice. And I guess that I am excited to read Umbrella Academy Dallas number 1 now, because I've kind of held off on reading it. I got it in my shipment like a week ago or whatever, and put it aside, haven't touched it, said I'm going to reread Volume 1 before I touch this thing. So I'm kind of excited to go back and read that now. So hoorah for that. So I'm gonna end this, guys. I'm sorry, I'm really, really rambling and lost here. Haven't done one of these in a while. Got back on the old horse, and I mean, really, this is something that you just have to read for yourself. Just pick it up in the bookstore, flip through it, see if you like it. And if you've already got the issues and you want the trade, I'd say suggest go getting it. Or if you've got like 2 issues and you said I'll wait for the trade and kind of fell off the wagon and never ended up getting it, I'd say go get it. You know, this is something that I'd say, if you're looking for something out there that's a little bit different than what you're used to reading, this is something that, you know, would fill your superhero palette, but, you know, would probably, you might like because it's a little bit different. You know what I mean? It's not standard straight up superhero. It's not standard straight up sci-fi. It's a little bit of both and everything mixed in between. And the cover's by James Jean, who does the Fable stuff. Just gorgeous. Just gorgeous. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's my recommendation. As usual, be sure to listen to Comic Timing. The next review corner is going to have the Umbrella Academy on it. So be sure to listen to that to hear what I think about the second book, and kind of tell Ian what I thought about this one, how this thing turned out to be crap. You know, so just check that out, and I will see you guys soon. Probably going to have 2 more episodes coming out in December, I know we're doing one with Wood and Chris Johnson. I think about collected editions. I could be wrong because it'll hold me to it. We're going to record that pretty soon. And then the one after that should be the review corner for books that came out in November. And those were the Daredevil Captain America special, Umbrella Academy Dallas, and let's see if it comes to me. And that last DC item I couldn't remember is JSA 21. I was like, what the hell came out that we were waiting? And then I remembered, well, yeah, we went and picked it up early so we could read it, so we wouldn't be waiting. So yeah, JSA 21, Daredevil Captain America special, and Umbrella Academy Dallas, I think, yeah. So check it out, and we will see you guys around. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.